It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we take a deeper look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today On Deadline is checking in on the Israel-Hamas war and hopes that a ceasefire might finally put an end to mounting tragedies abroad and at home. Ramadan, a holy month of fasting observed in Islam, just began. This year, Palestinian Muslims in Gaza are facing deadly hunger as they try to take part. Palestinians told CNN the war has crushed hopes of observing a peaceful month of fasting, festivities, and worship this year, the outlet reported. While the impact in the U.S. is nowhere near as severe as it is at the heart of the battle in and around Gaza, the war has also sparked tension here. Reports of anti-Semitism have increased, and people have protested against the deaths of innocent Palestinians. In November, there was a brief reprieve from the fighting during a short ceasefire. During that time, the terrorist organization Hamas released hostages, Israel released prisoners, and humanitarian supplies made it into the war zone. Vice President Kamala Harris called for a new 6-week ceasefire earlier this month. During his State of the Union address last week, President Joe Biden called for one too. But he also acknowledged that the war, kicked off by Hamas's brutal October 7th terrorist attack on Israel, in which the group killed 1,200 people, has already had a devastating toll.
Has taken a greater toll on innocent civilians than all previous wars in Gaza combined. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas. Thousands and thousands of innocents, women and children, girls and boys, also orphaned. Nearly 2 million more Palestinians under bombardment or displacement.
Biden announced that the U.S. would establish a pier in the Mediterranean on the Gaza coast. That's where ships could bring supplies to civilians. How much will this plan actually help? UCLA Middle East expert Ben Rad joined Odyssey to explain.
So do you think this is going to make much of an impact, this port and pier, in avoiding a humanitarian disaster in Gaza?
Well, it can only be a positive impact, if at all. And with the efforts the United States military has put behind building this out, and also we understand now the aid will be coming from donor countries through Cyprus, where the Israelis will inspect it and then make its way to this temporary port. It'll definitely help alleviate some of the suffering. The issue remains, though, that getting the resources from the port then into parts of Gaza where the devastation is taking place, that still remains a logistical hurdle.
Now, this has strained the relationship between President Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu. Is that strain going to break? I know the president has to thread a very small eye of a needle here with support for Israel and from within his own party now, the support for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. Is he going to be able to do that and maintain a relationship with the head of Israel's government?
It's unlikely this will shift or sway anything with regards to Biden's relations with Israel. Really, I think this is more of an attempt to placate pressure and criticism from both within the party, from U.S. allies, about what are perceived as lackluster efforts by President Biden to put pressure on Netanyahu with regards to getting aid in. We've seen tonight reports of protests outside the White House attempting to block the motorcade going to the Capitol, possible interruptions that might happen during the State of the Union. So Biden is definitely feeling the pressure from within his party, from others. And I think this is an attempt to really placate that audience and those voters who have said that they're not going to vote for him as a result of this.
All right. And one quick question. How do you think their relationship is behind the scenes?
Well, behind the scenes, we know it's fraught. We know that the visit by Benny Gantz a few days ago, which was done without Netanyahu's blessing, was an attempt by centrists within the Israeli war cabinet to really mend ties and to keep U.S. support ongoing despite the external differences. It's Netanyahu has picked fights with Obama before, and this is something that he does not shy away from. His constituency is the right-wing flank in Israel whose votes he needs, support he needs to maintain his position. So I don't see that changing at all.
Yeah. As for that proposed ceasefire, Biden and U.S. officials have been talking about it publicly since at least the start of the month. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said Tuesday during a press briefing, quote, "A ceasefire is on the table today for 6 weeks to be built on into something more enduring if Hamas would only simply release women, wounded, and elderly." He said the group's refusal to do so demonstrates how little they care for the Palestinian people. Still, Sullivan told reporters that U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Antony Blinken, are working to make a ceasefire happen. Earlier this month, Margaret Brennan of CBS's Face the Nation joined Odyssey to discuss the complicated and tense situation in Gaza amidst ceasefire talks.
President Biden said earlier this week he is hopeful, remains hopeful for some kind of ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. What is the latest as we move closer to what he hopes is a ceasefire?
He pulled back a bit from that now, you know, saying it's not clear what the timeline is here. But what we know is that the United States has been pressing Israel and Hamas to come to an agreement for 6 weeks of pause and fighting, during which time humanitarian aid would be surged into the Gaza Strip, where people are dying of starvation and catastrophic health issues because of the siege. And we also know that it would coincide with the release of about 40 hostages still believed to be alive and held by Hamas, as well as the release of some Palestinian prisoners from Israeli detention centers. The numbers on that front are one of the sticking points that my sources tell me still remain.
Always heartbreaking to hear about loss of life. And, you know, obviously we're getting different indications of what exactly happened yesterday near Gaza City, where more than 100 civilians seem to have been killed, you know, some say by shooting, some say by crushing and trying to get in, you know, and crushing in on these trucks that were bringing aid. I guess it remains to be seen how an incident like that impacts talks.
Well, it's not helpful, certainly, but it underscores just the absolutely dire situation on humanitarian grounds that exists within the Gaza Strip, that starving people are clamoring for food in a way that turns violent. There's a breakdown in civil order. This is what humanitarian aid organizations have been saying and warning about for weeks and months, including on Face the Nation. What we know is that the IDF says that soldiers fired on these civilians only after firing warning shots and because they felt their lives were in danger. But it's more than 100 people killed, reportedly as many as 700 who were injured. The French president has been very clear. He said he has deep indignation at the images coming from Gaza, where civilians were targeted by Israeli soldiers. So the French really being very direct in their blame, the UN calling for an investigation, the White House still says it's unclear what happened.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the U.S., intelligence officials warned lawmakers this week of an increasingly fragile world order in their 2024 threat assessment. Central Intelligence Agency Director William Burns said ceasefire is needed in Gaza in order to get humanitarian aid to starving children, according to Reuters. Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines also said the Israel-Hamas war could spread global insecurity. She said that Houthi militia attacks on shipping, as well as Al-Qaeda and ISIS attacks inspired by Hamas, have been aimed at both Israeli and U.S. targets. Intelligence officials also explained how war in the Middle East fits into a web of growing national security threats. ABC law enforcement reporter Luke Barr joined Odyssey for more on what they told Congress.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yesterday, the heavy intelligence agencies like the FBI, the CIA, the director of the National Intelligence Agency were on the Hill and were warning of a stark picture of the terrorism landscape, from terrorism at the southern border, AI's powers for bad, the need for a ceasefire in Gaza, and the need for funding in Ukraine. They all warned about what those things look like.
This AI, I mean, it is crazy. It's so easy to be fooled by an AI video. How is this ever going to stay out of the campaign?
Yeah, so that's what the intel heads warned. I mean, you know, the CIA director basically said that they've seen evidence that Al-Qaeda used AI to generate videos aimed at inspiring lone wolves. And then in another instance, Director Haynes, the director of the Office of National Intelligence, said that there was a deepfake of President Zelensky telling soldiers to, quote, lay down their arms, which, of course, you know, did not happen, and they had to correct the record. So they're really concerned about how, you know, when people go to the polls and people go to vote, they could be influenced by a malign foreign influence operation that includes misinformation using AI.
Did they talk about how they're trying to combat this? Did they ask anything of the Senate to help them with more resources?
Yeah, they said that, you know, a lot of the information people get should be coming from official sources. So where you get your news from, you know, trusted sources of information, trusted news sources, trusted government agencies, you know, not relying on anything that seems a little suspicious to be, you know, to be being able to influence somebody.
FBI Director Christopher Wray even said his agency is concerned about the influence of the terrorist group ISIS at our southern border. He said there's a smuggling network operating there with ties to the group, according to ABC News. While a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war won't fix all of the national security threats we face, it could help end significant suffering and make that fragile world order stronger. Here's where things stood as we recorded, per Reuters. Israel had agreed to the terms of a 6-week ceasefire and release of prisoners in exchange for the release of some of the approximately 200 hostages taken by Hamas in October. However, Hamas said it will only accept a deal based on a permanent ceasefire. It wants a promise that the war will end and that Israeli troops will withdraw from Gaza. Things may seem a bit bleak right now, but there is hope. Qatar Foreign Ministry spokesperson Majed Al Ansari is a mediator in negotiations related to the Israel-Hamas war. He told CNN Tuesday that they were nowhere near a deal. By Wednesday, he said he hopes a truce will materialize by the time Ramadan is over next month. Al Ansari said in an X post that he seeks to push both parties towards an agreement. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and Myron Kaplan. I'm Lauren Berry. Thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.